Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We're continuing to make our way through this season of Advent, the beginning of the church year. We anticipate the celebration of the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have one eye on his incarnation, and we have another eye on the Lord's return. The Christian people are a people who Jesus exhorted us to watch and to wait, to anticipate the coming of our Lord, be ready at all times, to keep our lamps burning. You think of the many parables that the Lord gave us, helping us and exhorting us, really, that especially if you think about the parables he gave during his Last Supper discourse with the apostles. There was talking about what life would be like before he returned. It will be a time of the greatest intensity, the greatest persecution in the history of the church, but also the time of the greatest glory. And Jesus said, you can anticipate his coming. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but he said certain signs will precede his coming. And if you haven't had a chance recently to listen to the programs or tune in to some of the YouTubes we're producing at renewalministries.net, Ralph Martin, myself, Sister Ann Shields, and our team, we talk about some of these things. But the fundamental posture that Jesus exhorts his disciples to in the face of whatever it is, no matter how difficult a circumstance we're passing through. Of course, Jesus teaches and the apostles to never be surprised when the world acts worldly, when we're living in the midst of tribulation. This is not our home. We're pilgrims on a journey. We're exiles. Our home is with the Lord. Our home is in heaven, and we inhabit a battlefield. We live on a battlefield. But God gives us particular graces and strengths he wants us to lay hold of when we see those in this Advent season. In particular, we'll celebrate them at Christmas time, the season of great joy. The Lord wants us literally to be able to experience the gift of joy, the spiritual gift, that a work that the Holy Spirit produces in us, giving us an awareness, and that joy flows from the awareness of how much God enjoys us, how much God loves us, first of all, foundationally, and how much the Lord takes delight in us. There's so many phrases in the New Testament written by Paul or St. Peter or John that just talk about how the deep awareness they lived with of how much God loved them and how much God loves us. You know, John, for example, would say, you know, see what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. John calls us the beloved. Paul in Colossians, I was just meditating on that today, chapter 3, where he exhorts us to lift our eyes to the heavens, to, as we live, to set our minds on Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to remind us who God is, who we are in relationship to God, and to live in that reality so that we can experience the transformation that comes with it, getting a renewed mind and a renewed spirit. In verse 12 of chapter 3, Paul says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. So like a cloak, we're meant to put on certain characteristics of Christ that the Holy Spirit is here to help us move into and live in. But when Paul's speaking, he addresses them, who are you? Who's he speaking to? Well, he's speaking to a sinful, broken people who've been redeemed by Christ, who are dealing with struggles and circumstances of life and dealing with their own weaknesses, battling with the spiritual forces that are set against them, the temptations of the enemy to give into discouragement, to walk in condemnation or alienation, isolation. But Paul reminds them, reminds us who read it, of who we are. He said, you're God's chosen ones. You're holy and beloved. You're chosen by what? By God. Before all time, chosen to be united with his son Jesus, chosen through the death and resurrection of Christ and his sacrifice on the cross and his blood, chosen to draw near, to be cleansed. In baptism, the claim has really been made. He's laid hold of us in baptism, and he's united us to his entire work of salvation and transformation. But we are chosen by God, and we are made holy by God. He addresses us as holy ones, and we don't often think of ourselves that way. It can be easily caught up in just the opposite, the constant awareness of how far we are from being holy in relationship to God, in relationship to the saints and who they are. But God's already begun that work in us. The work of holiness is fundamentally and first a work of God, because it's God who is holy, and it's the holy God who has drawn near to us. And in baptism, he's come to dwell in us as in a temple. And so that work of transformation of God's power at work in us through the Holy Spirit, Paul can say we're holy because why? Because the Spirit of God now dwells in us, the Holy One. And God has come to set us apart for him and to be daily, consistently moving toward being transformed in an ever deeper way into the image of his beloved Son. So that's why Paul will say earlier in the letter, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above. He's saying a reality is unfolding in your life. God has come to lay hold of you. You're united now to God in the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants you to lift your eyes to see Christ, to see what God has accomplished in Jesus, his transformed humanity, his being raised to glory, his having passed from death to life, his being seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's clothed in glory. And as we lift our heads, we lift our eyes to the heavens and we behold Christ, it's the Holy Spirit who helps us see Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us to believe in the revelation and the truth of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished. And the hope that we have of sharing in and the deep trust that we're given through the help of the Holy Spirit, that what we see when we lift our eyes to the heavens, we will receive. That's our destiny. We've already received a down payment, which is a promise, a grace of the Holy Spirit, giving us faith conviction of the, first of all, his presence in us, that God has made us a temple, and the already and the not yet has happened. That is, the what we see, the fullness of Jesus Christ reigning at the right hand of God the Father, is not yet complete for us. That is, we haven't fully entered into it. We haven't passed from death to life. And we have been clothed with glory. But faith, which allows us to see it and to entrust our hearts to believe it, and hope is that confidence that what I see, what I behold, there's a growing assurance in me that despite my weakness and my failings, my fading flesh in this life, what I see, God is giving me a reassurance, a deep assurance in the Holy Spirit, a down payment that gives me confidence that what I perceive is what I will receive. This is where God is taking my life. And it's the key, friends, to navigating this world in freedom, in joy, and to be able to walk out the Christian life in the way Paul's exhorting us in Colossians 3, to the chosen ones, to the holy ones, to the ones who are loved, the beloved. He said, now, because this is who you are, walk out the life of Jesus in you. You can do it. You have a new power and a new capacity, and you don't have to see yourself the way you've seen yourself. You don't have to conclude that you're not God's son or God's daughter, that you're a slave or that you're an orphan. But you can have the confidence of the apostles who just simply, not because of their achievements, but they live with a wonder, an amazement of what God has made them and what God has done for them and what they really possess. It's not as if they live unchanged and they're just hoping someday something, I'm going to reach it someday. Well, we do have a hope of reaching Christ in fullness, in the power of the Spirit, and the presence of God the Father. But the veil has already been drawn back. We can already come into God's presence. He's laid hold of us through the Holy Spirit. So Paul said, live differently. Walk out your life in Christ with compassion and kindness, lowliness and meekness and patience. Forbear with one another. If one has a complaint against one another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. We all must forgive. So let your life be characterized with the qualities, the virtues, the gifts, the graces of Jesus himself that he's given to you. You don't have to live with the fear that the world lives in because the circumstances of life are shaking them and they're under the power of the fear of sin and death. You don't have to live under that domination now. You're a child. Behold, you're a child of God. And the new thing, the new creation has already begun in you. It's beginning to unfold, and his life is unfolding in you if you're abiding in him, if you're receiving it, if you're accepting it. And one of the most precious things that the apostles possessed was the awareness, because they received God's mercy, that God delights in them. You know, one of the most important things we need as human beings, it's a deep, really emotional need, as well as intellectual and the rest, but even at an emotional level, to have the assurance that we're loved and enjoyed by God. God delights in us. That's why he tells us that he delights in us. And that's why King David sang about it. He received tastes of it in God's presence, Psalm 16. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The fundamental source of joy and the fundamental source of the pleasure, what we encounter, is God himself. In the kingdom, certainly there's many, many pleasures. Our heart is made to be able to receive ultimately all that God has given us, that communicates to us his delight in us. That's why Jesus came, ultimately. He said, I want you to have my life and have it to the full. I want you to know my joy and to have full joy and to live in it. And Jesus's full joy is the gaze of the Father on his life, is the profound security and confidence Jesus had of the love of the Father, which included how much the Father delighted in him. This is something the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us, and the devil tries to steal from us, to steal whatever joy might emerge. We might have glimpses of it in the grace of the Holy Spirit, but we fall. We're acutely aware of our own weaknesses and difficulties. And one good test in terms of, are we perceiving God the way he desires to be perceived in Jesus? Are we seeing ourselves the way he sees us? Are we believing who he says we are? Or are we believing who the devil says we are? Or who other fallen human beings say we are? One way to test it is, what happens when you fall? When you fail in some way, spiritually, do you find yourself running from God? Or do you find yourself running toward God? It's a great healing when the human heart, despite our weakness and our brokenness, we begin to perceive ourselves and experience ourselves as the beloved. And at the heart of that beloved is the realization, the experiential knowledge that God delights in me. All right, Isaiah 62:4. The Lord delights in you. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. That's part of the joy we're going to hear. And Our Lady's Magnificat and the rejoicing that happens at the birth of our Lord, it's because God has entered into his creation, but he's come to reveal to us how much he loves us. We're not a lost race of people in the middle of nowhere who are here by accident, and we're just trying to survive on our own and try to find meaning on our own. We are literally precious in the eyes of God, and he's come to save us and to reveal to us his delight and that he loves us with great passion. Lord, we pray as we move toward Christmas that that realization could grow in us by the grace and power of the Spirit. Friends, have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.